and welcome to Small Black Birds. I'm AJ, and in this episode, you will hear stories about two women who are among the best in the world in their sport and use their many talents to not only dominate the competition, but to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate in the games they love to play. Between the WNBA's fight for better pay and working conditions, and professional runners challenging Nike's discriminatory maternity policy, female athletes across the sports landscape are standing up and demanding opportunity to show off their talent. Sports have long mirrored society, and gender discrimination has persisted in athletics just as it does in our homes and other workplaces. This episode features women who are at the top of their sport and use their athletic gifts and voices to help everyone pursue their dreams. Soccer fans have been watching Norwegian superstar Ada Hegerberg regularly embarrass Europe's top goalies for years, but it wasn't until she stopped playing that people really took notice. Here's her story.
Who's a better nine than Ada Hegerberg? Fantastic player, incredible goal scorer, you know, scores goals in so many different ways. I mean, just so impressive. Seattle can be your home. Tacoma can be your home anytime you want. You just let me know what you need. I can make it happen. You can take my apartment, whatever you need. We would love to see you in America, but I mean, just a fantastic player with a really bright future out of her.
Having won two World Cups, American soccer great Megan Rapinoe knows about dominating performances, but even she recognizes that Norway's Ada Hegerberg is in a class all by herself. Since going pro in 2014, the Norwegian striker has scored over 200 goals and led her team to four Champions League titles. She is so dominant, they created an award just so they could give one to her. No, really. In 2018, soccer's top governing body announced she would receive the Ballon d'Or, an honor recognizing the world's best soccer player that had been awarded exclusively to male players since 1956.
It meant everything to all of us. Even though it was individual trophy, it had such a great importance for the sport, for women in general. I was really proud because this is something that I've fought for my whole life, my whole career, is to have that respect, that mutual respect for all the work we put down. And I really felt that in the moment, and I think it was a symbol of the way modern football should be.
Hegerberg was set to accept the award at a glitzy televised ceremony in Paris, with many of soccer's top players in attendance. Standing on stage in front of her peers, triumphantly holding the soccer ball-shaped trophy above her head, should have been the pinnacle of her career. Instead, moments after receiving the award, the ceremony's host flippantly asked if she knew how to twerk. Without missing a beat, Hegerberg brushed off the absurd question with a quick no, while a stunned audience looked on in disbelief.
Yeah, I've had a lot of questions about that surgery. He came to me after and he was really, really sad that it went that way. I didn't think about it in that moment. I didn't consider it as a sexual harassment or anything. I was just happy to celebrate winning the Ballon d'Or, to be honest.
The irony of the moment was not lost on anyone who follows the women's game and has seen how its players are treated. During the 2015 World Cup, women were forced to play on artificial surfaces as a cost-cutting measure, despite increased risk of injury and complaints of the ball bouncing differently than on grass. In the US, the women's national team outperforms the men, winning World Cup titles in 2015 and 2019, and generates more revenue, but its players are paid a quarter of what the men earn. No one had to remind the Norwegian superstar. After years lobbying team and country officials to improve facilities and invest in the women's game, were met with more promises than action, the then 21-year-old chose to no longer play for Norway's national team. The decision to walk away from her international career shocked her home country and shined a spotlight on the second-rate conditions of the women's game that no one across Europe could ignore.
As a women's footballer today, there's a lot of change that needs to happen. It's all about giving more and more women and girls a professional football life with better conditions, better pitches, so that we in the end can also give a good product, because it's all about performing and delivering a good product. And we, the players, We also have a lot of responsibility in that. But in order to get to that place, we also need help from UEFA, FIFA, in their investment of the women's game.
It didn't take long for the ice to melt. The Norwegian Soccer Federation, which had been reluctant to make changes, suddenly reached an agreement with its players to pay men and women equally, the first of its kind in international soccer. The federation also hired a female sporting director who splits time between the country's men's and women's teams and runs a project aimed at developing top women's coaches. But if Norway expected these changes would be enough to entice Hegerberg back to wearing the country's trademark red and blue colors for the national team, they would soon learn her response when she decided to sit out the 2019 Women's World Cup.
I don't say Women's World Cup, I just say World Cup.
Excuse me, the 2019 World Cup, a decision she came to without difficulty, she said, because her fight for respect is bigger than any game or tournament.
I felt like I was an object in a big piece where we weren't considered as professional as we should have been. I tried to make the impact I could, but in the end I had to step away because my impact didn't help and it didn't help me as a footballer either. So in the end, it's a crucial decision to take, but it was an important one as well.
Hegerberg's advocacy has inspired countless other athletes, including the U.S. women's national team, who are engaged in an ongoing legal battle with the U.S. Soccer Federation for fair compensation and more resources for development. Team Jamaica, known as the Reggae Girls, launched a No Pay, No Play campaign on social media and said it would not compete until its federation paid the players money that they were owed. In Denmark, the women's team refused to play a World Cup qualifier against Sweden over a pay dispute and eventually won a 4-year agreement with their federation.
I feel solidarity with women who speak up and stand up for what they believe in. I think the more and more we are, the bigger groups we are, the more power we will have to make an impact, to change things. And in the end, it's all about supporting each other, and we all want the same thing, and it's changes, obviously, getting the position that women deserve.
A recent video on social media shows Hegerberg running on a specially designed treadmill and doing agility drills in preparation for the upcoming season. She just signed a mega endorsement deal with a major shoe company, and her next club contract is expected to be record-breaking. Even with a professional career that would be the envy of any other footballer, Hegerberg knows it's the fight off the pitch that will be her most important legacy.
Creating a world where young boys and girls can have equal opportunities to actually dream of becoming a footballer is something exciting and something everyone should be conscious about. Obviously, all of us should have the same opportunities to dream big, I would say, not only in football, but in society as well.
Much like Hegerberg, pro surfer Bianca Valenti is one of the best in the world at what she does. But even for someone who rides 40-foot monster waves, the challenge of pushing a male-dominated sport to embrace women as more than just eye candy was no day at the beach.
Surfing means everything to me. Surfing is the number one love in my life. It's my passion, teaches me to be strong, courageous, teaches me how to share space with anybody. It's my world. When you connect with the wave and you come down and it's like just butter and all of your senses are heightened, like your eyes see everything and you can feel every single little tiny bump and every drop of water underneath your board. And it's just this total transcendent moment where you're absolutely present.
When the World Surf League announced in September that Maya Gabeira, a Brazilian big wave surfer, had won the year's biggest wave award for riding a 73.5-foot wave off the coast of Portugal, Bianca Valenti must have been proud and probably a little bit envious. Valenti, who grew up on the beaches of Northern California, has dreamt of riding huge waves since she was a girl.
The first week I started surfing, I got a poster of Kelly Slater, the greatest surfer of all time, put it on my wall. But I didn't see any female role models when I first started, and I just saw him standing there in the barrel. He was the most powerful, he was the most skilled, so I wanted to be like that surfer, the best surfer.
As the saying goes, you don't catch the waves catch you. And it didn't take long for those waves to capture Valenti's imagination. From an early age, she dedicated herself to the water, and as a teenager excelled in local longboarding events competed against professionals, and even earned modest endorsement deals with surf apparel companies.
I started surfing when I was 7 years old, and I started competing when I was 9 years old. I would compete with the boys a lot because there were no girls' divisions.
Valenti started on a longboard, but a trip to San Francisco in the late 90s changed her trajectory. Unlike the smaller, crumbly peeler she was used to riding back home, Ocean Beach swelled with 15 to 20 foot waves that would give pause to even seasoned surfers. Realizing this was her chance to ride those big waves she had dreamed about since she was a girl, Valenti spent the next decade paddling into waves the size of mountains as frequently as she could. In 2012, her hard work paid off when she qualified for the Women's Championship Tour at Hawaii's legendary Banzai Pipeline. Competing against the world's best under some extreme conditions, Valenti successfully rode barrel after barrel and was named the tour's winner.
Big waves start at like about 15 feet and they go anywhere bigger, up to 100. I've been lucky to catch a couple of 40 footers, but I'm still trying to improve and go bigger.
Winning the competition should have led to endorsements to cover Valenti's expenses to travel and compete at other events on tour. But when sponsorships didn't materialize, the meager prize money awarded on the women's circuit wasn't enough to support her surfing career, and she went to work at her father's restaurant. It's no secret that much of the industry's sponsorship dollars flow into the hands of those whose appearance in a swimsuit matter as much, if not more, than their performance in the water.
Women in surfing are portrayed in a very sexualized lens. It was always a struggle to find sponsorship to make an income because I didn't have the model look that men wanted to use to market their concept of what a woman in surfing would look like.
Valenti studied to become a sommelier, but never strayed far from the water. In March 2014, she was invited to the first ever Women's Big Wave Contest, part of a larger men's event in Oregon at a remote offshore break called Nelscott Reef, and won. Although there was no official prize purse for the women's division, unlike the men's champion who took home $50,000, and only six female contestants were invited, the women competitors quickly bonded over their shared passion for catching big waves. Inspired by Valenti's victory at Nelscott, the women wanted a chance to compete at Mavericks, surfing's iconic big wave event off the coast of San Francisco. Like all big wave events, Mavericks was invitation only, and throughout its 20-year history had only allowed the top-ranking men to compete. But if women were excluded from most of the tour's big events, how could they achieve a ranking high enough to qualify for Mavericks?
Big wave surfing is about going places that nobody's been before, that you haven't been before, and not being deterred by the challenges in getting there.
What started as a personal desire to compete at a legendary big wave surf competition quickly turned into a 4-year fight for equality that made the beach and sports world take notice. Valenti teamed up with other top female surfers like Paige Alms and Andrea Moeller to challenge male-only surfing events in California. Their efforts, not surprisingly, were met with the usual condescending attitudes that big wave events are too dangerous for women or that there wasn't enough talent in the women's division to put on events.
I was burnt out from the frustrations that I felt of inequality and lack of opportunity and sexism in the surf industry and in the high-profile competitions. And so we decided to form a committee for equity in women's surfing. The goal of our committee is to pave a better future for women in surfing. And what we created was a template showing the importance and the value added to events and to sport by having professional female athletes compete in events.
At the same time Valenti was fighting for respect in the surfing world, the Me Too and Time's Up movement started making their mark, sparking conversations nationwide about the way women are treated throughout society. Almost overnight, state officials that had been in the past silent on gender discrimination grew receptive to Valenti's message of inclusion and equality, and began using their influence to remove barriers that kept women from competing. Though it still required a healthy dose of discussion and legal action, one can draw a straight line from Valenti's campaign for equality and the World Surf League announcing that it would award men and women equally across all events.
You know, if you want to be a surfer in Northern California where it's cold and shark infested, you got to have a thick skin.
Catching big waves will always be Valenti's passion, but she recently opened a restaurant and wine bar and is an entrepreneur and outspoken environmental activist. Her fight to even the playing field has taken her to the California State Assembly, where she contributed to legislation that empowers more women and girls to experience opportunities that she was denied.
What I would like to see is more encouragement for women athletes from men, from allies, and women really sticking together and supporting and encouraging each other to create the changes that we want to see. Women have the ability to open minds when they ride big waves. Our surfing is so revolutionary and so cutting edge that it really speaks to the awesomeness of women.
Creating change is rarely easy, but through their hard work, agitation, and sacrifice, these incredible athletes are making it difficult for the unfair business practices of the sports world to continue. Spurred by these incredible women, the idea of fair competition and equal pay has taken hold among athletes, fans, and sponsors, and we will all be better off because of it. Thank you for listening to Small Black Birds. Want to protect your First Amendment rights? Take action today by visiting www.rightsanddissent.org to learn more. What do you think about these women's stories? Let me know at smallblackbirdspodcast@gmail.com. Stay safe and talk with you soon.
Let us put men and women together, see which one is smarter. Some say man, and I say no. Women got the men like a puppet show. It ain't me, it's the people that say it. Men are leading the women instead. I say it's the women today, smarter than the man in every way. And that's right, the women are smarter. That's right, the women are smarter. That's right, the women are smarter. The women are smarter. That's right, that's right. Little more shit on the corner.